I'm here. Hi, guys.
Hey.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I went overtime with my my boy's homework, so it took a little longer than I thought it would take.
You gotta get that homework done.
I know. And in France, they don't play. It's crazy out here. Like, it's intense. So, yeah.
Well, we glad you made it. We've been trying to get you on this call for a while.
Oh, I'm glad we got it organized.
Definitely.
Long overdue.
Yes. Can you go in the kitchen recording?
Make sure we're recording. So, yeah, Lo has COVID, and she in quarantine her kids all over.
Yeah, look.
Hi.
Say hi. He's being silly. He's about to put peanut butter and jelly on his face. Never mind. Don't speak, okay?
He is so cute.
I'm okay, though.
Yeah. I know.
I had a bad temperature on Sunday night of 103.9, but every day is getting better. Yeah. And then today, my son, he has tonsillitis. So, we all we in here.
Girl. One thing after another, it sounds like.
Facts. And he fell out the bed yesterday morning and busted his lip. So.
Oh my God. Listen, my son, I've had both my sons do that. It's something about boys that just, they're so active.
He's like a tornado in his sleep. He just be everywhere. And I don't get it. I don't get it.
What are you, guys are overseas?
Yeah, we're in Spain.
In Spain? Okay. Man. That's crazy. I hope you guys all feel better soon.
Thanks, girl. Me too.
It's been going around. Have you had COVID? Have you or the boys had COVID?
No. I'm so thankful. And it's crazy because, probably 80% of my team has had it. There's a girl right now on the team who has COVID, and according to the rules, she's been allowed to come around. So I don't know. I'm just drinking my tea and I'm a huge tea drinker, so I got my tea. But I guess she had to isolate for 5 days and then test again. And if she was positive, she had to wait another 2 days before coming back around. And so she did the 5 days, tested positive again, waited the 2 days, was still positive. Came back.
That's crazy. I know they not some leagues aren't even testing because they don't want their players to have to quarantine, which I guess is
in what country?
Kind of unethical. Poland. A couple of coaches aren't testing because they're just like, if you don't feel good, go stay home, take some medicine.
I've heard some coaches say, even if you don't feel good, keep coming around. It's just, if you have a little sniffle. I had a friend of mine just tell me that a couple of days ago. Her coach was like, look, her coach told them, look, guys, back in my day, if we had a little sniffle, we still showed up. And I'm like, there's a whole pandemic happening.
This ain't no dang sniffle.
No, it's not. Right.
Man, if you don't kick rocks.
But you already know overseas, it's the most important thing is to play. It doesn't matter if you're on one leg, if you're got COVID, I guess.
They let my husband's teammate play knowing he was positive, and now all of us got COVID.
Wow.
And his wife, right. And his wife has a high risk pregnancy going on.
Oh my God, that is so not safe. That's crazy.
Well, is he isolated from her? Did he at least stay away from her?
I think so. I think they were in different rooms in their house, but shit, he didn't let the man play now. So our family got it. Another family got it. It's just these teams don't care about us.
They really don't. They don't.
Yeah, once a few games get postponed, they just trying to do whatever,
to get that money back.
To get it, yeah, because they something's going, yeah, we got to stop. You had enough times to change games. Now y'all need to come back and play. It's like,
facts, especially after last year.
Yeah, it's crazy. But all right, Steph, we'll get into the questions and the topics. Again, we appreciate you coming on the Unguarded phone calls with us. Obviously, you and Lo have some very different paths, but the motherhood overseas piece, definitely that connection. So I wanted to just definitely start with that topic. Far as, you know, we talked about you were basically won the French League. I think you said took bronze in Euro League right before having your boys. And then after that, you know, you had your boys back to back, took 2 years off. Just what did that feel like? Like, were you all about it completely? Like, oh, I'm about to have these kids, it's great. Like, did you think about that it was the end? Like, what were you feeling in the moment when you knew this time period was coming up?
Oh, with all of that. Initially, as a hooper, your body is your business. And so initially I had all those thoughts like, okay, I wanted a family, that was for sure, but I also wanted to hoop. I'm like, can I have a baby and come back and play? What's gonna happen afterwards? Will I be able to come back in the same kind of shape? Like, will I be able to play while having, like, there's just so many thoughts that come with it. So I was really, really nervous initially. And then, I mean, I can laugh now, but in the time, like, my oldest son was 3 months old when I found out about my second son, that I was pregnant with my second son. So at that moment, I was like, okay, we're just gonna have to find a way to make this work. And I had decided after my first son that I wanted to come back and hoop. And I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I was just like, I'm going to do it. Whatever I need to do, I'm going to come back. I'm going to train. I didn't have, like, nowadays we have so many more examples of, like, left, right, and center. It feels like you're seeing a lot of hoopers getting pregnant, coming back to the game. But I don't think I had any example, actually. I didn't see that. So I think Instagram was new at the time. Like, I'm dating myself a little bit, but I didn't see that. So I was really nervous initially. I had my son, I got pregnant with my second son, and they were born in the same year, like within the same 300, you know, they're 9 days less than a year apart. So So after I had them, I was just like, all right, it's time to get back to it. Let's go back and hoop.
I only know McWilliams Franklin maybe had, but I think she had, her kid was older during her time overseas. So, but I always wondered about, like, once you did come back with two sons, like, how did, like, in the women's game, like, we know a lot of men bring their wives, they bring their kids, but you are a mother in the women's game with less resources. Like, how have you been able to make that happen? Like, with the negotiating with these teams, like, and you guys been at it for 7 years. So, like, how was that journey? Were you nervous that teams weren't going to take you? Like, was your agent at the time open to figuring it out for you?
You know what? Like, when I had my first son, it was almost like I had to convince agents. And at the time I wasn't working with anybody. So I almost had to, like, convince them, like, look, I'm in shape, I can come back. I have my son, like, once I have him in, or actually that was right before I had him. I was like, no, I'm about to have him in February. I'm gonna come back strong. And it was hard. So, like, I had to convince them almost, like, I'll still be able to play. I'll still be, you know, I'll get in shape, it'll be fine. So it was kind of stressful at that point. And then, like I said, I got pregnant again. And then it was like, all right, I have to just go back to square one. And I actually re-signed with an agent, because I've switched a few times, which I'm sure we'll talk about afterwards. But I just reached out to, like, my first agent ever. I was like, look, you recruited me out of university, know me, you know what I'm capable of. I'm gonna get back to it. Like, let's make it happen. And so I initially signed to a D2 team in France. And so I was like, all right, I'll start back slow. I'll have to prove myself again. That's what he said. So I wasn't happy about it because mentally I was still competitive. Mentally, I was like, the last 2 years I was in the French League finals. You know, the first year we won silvers. Second year, like you said, we won it all. We were EuroLeague, bronze medal. I'm like, I still had that mentality. I'm like, I can play at that level. But I had to, I was just put in a position where I had to prove it. And actually what ended up happening that year was I signed with the D2 team. And a couple months later, a girl in D1 got pregnant. So a spot opened up. And so right before season started, my agent was like, look, would you want to go first league? Like, are you ready? And I was like, let's go. Like, I'm
heck
ready.
Yeah.
It was tough initially because, man, I'm sure, Lo, you can understand this. Like, when you start to work out after having your kids, it's like everything's just happening so fast around you. Like, you don't have the same rhythm. Everything is just, it took
you
a while.
You can't move to like you think you can.
At all. I was like, what's happening? Like, oh yeah, oh, I gotta come. It was a lot. So it took me a couple months, but the second half of the year, I just started playing like how I used to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but I mean, even with that being said, to answer your question, it's like, it's still been a process. It's still been hard trying to, it almost feels like you have to convince teams. Like, I can do this. Like, I handle my own, like in terms of babysitting, in terms of anything personal, I handle my own. Teams don't handle that for me. Aside from the, obviously like the flights and stuff like that and making sure I have an apartment to myself, because a lot of girls, they still share, and you know, rookies and stuff like that. But you know, everything else is taken care of. But I have to tell them, like, look, I'm coming, I'm a hoop, and don't worry about the rest. So it's still tough because some teams feel like they can't accommodate that, which is fair, but I guess in theory. But like you said, it's tough because it's been a struggle mentally. Men, they come overseas and they have their families with them, and or if they don't, teams will give them tickets and fly their families out a couple times a year. You know, like, it's really not a problem at all. So for me, it's frustrating at times because it's like, well, what's so different? You know, like, you're not worried. You don't have to take care of anything. I understand there's some teams that take care of babysitting or the little details, but you know, I don't know. But yeah, that's just kind of how I did it. We've been to a couple of different countries. I take care of my stuff and we make it happen.
I don't know what teams would expect out of a female athlete anyway. Like, we're the ones who have to carry the babies and birth them anyway.
Right.
It's going to happen at some point.
Right.
But they should at least be understanding. And if, you know, like they give these guys 10-day contracts. If you don't believe me, just put me on a 10-day.
Right.
Maybe you're wrong.
Right. And it's crazy now because things have evolved so much, which I'm so happy about. But 7-8 years ago, it wasn't like this. Like now in France, there's a woman, she signed a 3-year contract, I think it was, 2 or 3 year, with the understanding of the first year I'm going to play, the second year I'm going to get pregnant and have my baby, and then the third year I'm going to come back and play with you guys.
Oh, that's dope.
And yeah, there was that common understanding between her and her team. And I was like, that's great. Like, to be able to do that and have that security and to have that support team is huge.
Right.
And man.
The French League Federation, though, well, their players union and everything is pretty solid. I hear. So I would assume that everything is just knowingly more professional in France in general. So it definitely makes sense. How has it been for the kids? I mean, both of y'all, like, what have you seen as far as like the differences when you do go back home and they're around other kids that haven't had the lifestyle that they've been exposed to? Like, what do you see as far as the growth or maybe the lack of growth? I talked to one player who forgot where they were, and they felt as though the American school that they had their kid in wasn't really up to par compared to maybe other countries or back in the States. So yeah, or what have you seen like positive, or what have you seen like negatively that you've had to deal with for as when it comes to your kids and watching them evolve while you guys go along these journeys of living the expat life?
You want
to
go first?
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, mine's not going to be more as extensive as yours because your boys are older than mine. But as far as the daycare aspect is concerned for me, with my oldest, Jay, we were in Italy, you know, he's in daycare. They're not teaching him how to read and write, spell his name. They had him learning about butterflies, planting flowers, becoming one with nature, and socializing. So when I brought him back to the States to his daycare, his teacher was like, what has Jay been doing in school in Italy? Because my man don't even know how to spell his name. And I'm like, okay, so teach me what I'm supposed to be teaching him. Because I'm like, okay, well, he's socializing and he's learning Italian. So I think that's good for a three-year-old. And she's like, that is good. But if he gets lost, he needs to know how to spell his name. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're right. So, you know, that was different for me. But now that he's five and he's in school here in Spain, I had to tell his teacher, like, yes, I want him to learn Spanish because he learns Spanish in school in the States. But I want him to learn English, too. And if this is truly a bilingual school, really put some emphasis on his English because that's his primary language. Uh-huh. You know, it's not his second language or whatever. No, I don't want him coming home speaking to me in Spanish and I'll be like, look, I don't know what you just said, but I don't like the tone. So get together now.
Right.
I need to know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And as far as my middle son is concerned, Lathan, he's about to turn three in March, but the first 2 years of his life, he was very shy, very reserved. Going to the Italian school, he just was not his true self. But when we got home last summer, baby, he came out of his shell and turned up. And who he is today is because of the States.
Yeah. He's
like, oh, these Black people, and they speak the same language I do and kind of look like my mommy and daddy. I can be my true self. Mm-hmm. And now he's loud. So I think the States is, you know, great for as far as my kids. However, the cultural experiences that they get overseas, you know, kids nowadays don't get that. And I think that just makes them a little more well-rounded because they are truly engaged in every aspect of Spanish. You know, when we were in school, we're learning Spanish. We're learning it textbook. No, here, they're speaking Spanish to him, feeding him beans and sausage, and he's a Spaniard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's for my kids, it's just something you can't get back.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I definitely can agree with that. I feel like my boys are super well-rounded. They're very friendly. They don't shy away from, you know, if we're at a restaurant here in France, sometimes you have like a, I don't even know what to call it, like table water, you know, but sometimes you got to go and ask for it to be refilled. Like my 7-year-old, he'll get up and he'll ask in French. So I feel you on the, just the whole experience of being exposed to different cultures, different people, you know, that I think that's impacted them in a super positive way. They have a bit of a different experience in terms of school because they go to a French school. So it's all French. I'm bilingual. I speak French too. So I was like, I'm going to fully immerse them for the first couple years. And then we'll eventually transition to an international school. But so right now they're in all French. And so when we go, I'm from Canada. So when we go back to Canada, obviously like they open up a lot more. They come back speaking way more English. They're way more comfortable with it as well. But you know, we speak English at home and in school. It's, you know, they depended on their teacher. For the first couple years, they had a teacher who was super understanding and said, you know, the way that she handled their schoolwork was more so like, okay, in French, this is how we do it. And then, you know, in English, this is how you'll pronounce it. So she was really helpful with that. But yeah, definitely a similar experience with just being able to go back home and just see them open up in ways that it's like, it's, I love it. I love it. And my oldest, he swear, he be at school like, look, I'm here for a good time, not for a long time. I'm going home soon. I'm going back to Canada, okay? I'm not from here. He is so, like, he loves being home. He is so, like, he's so attached to my dad, too. So he's just, like, he be in class, like, drawing the Canadian flag. I'm like, listen, we're in France. We've been in France for 10 months out the year. Like, how is this happening? But, yeah, they just embrace wherever they are and make the most of it, really. So
same. How old are your boys?
They're 6 and 7.
Okay.
Yeah. So next month, nice. Actually, they have birthdays, so they'll be turning 7 and 8. That's crazy. 7 and 8.
Yeah, my baby will be 1 next month. I can't
believe it. Oh my gosh. Girl.
Big one. Mine are February, March, and April.
Oh man. See, I thought the same month was a lie, but that's
girl. See, this is what happens when I decide to go home early so that I could play summer basketball. And then Julian finishes the season and he comes back. We miss each other a little too much.
Right.
Right. A little too
much. Well, at least all the zodiac signs that are compatible.
Look,
February, I hope so. March, April. If February is Pisces, I think March is Aries, then Taurus. That's all compatible signs. Yeah.
Well, that Taurus, though, Jaceon, he's a little headstrong and social at the same time. So you got to watch him. But they all sweeties, though. They sweeties.
That's sweet.
All right. So I have to warn. I would have to email y'all another link if we get cut off because it's like 40 minutes, you know, with Zoom.
All right.
So if we get caught off, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have no kids, so that's why I left that conversation up to y'all, because I have no idea. But I know you've been a single mother, Steph. Obviously, Lo is doing the thing with Julian. But far as being a single mother, how was that for you? Like, when we overseas, I don't know, I'll speak for the no kids, you know, dating, trying to find my soulmate. Overseas, you could get, it's confusing for people.
I like how you put that.
You know, it's confusing because, you know, sometimes you really have to check yourself. Like, you're lonely. It's comfortable to find somebody who you vibe with. And, you know, we're going to kick it. We're going to be overseas. And it gets, you lose track of time and don't really check yourself and where we are while we're doing this. Like, what are we doing? And I think overseas, like, it happens because you're comfortable. You find somebody and y'all just doing this thing together, but no one has really looked into like, okay, are we really doing this? Are we really dating? Are we really about to be together? And sometimes that leads to good, successful relationships, and sometimes it leads to not so successful relationships. From your experience, you have 2 sons, beautiful. But from your experience with the relationship and now being a single mother, like, what's your take when you talk to people around overseas and being in these relationships? Like, what, how do you feel around it? And of course, there's a totally new generation now, but was wondering, like, what was your take on it now being far removed after going through all your process? Like, what's your thought process on that?
So basically you're asking about, like, my perspective about navigating dating as a single mom overseas?
Yes.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough. I've gone through sort of all, there's a lot of thoughts that come with it, right? Like, you know, first of all, if you meet somebody, you know, do you tell them about your kids right away? Do you, you know, what do you do? But I think the hardest thing for me currently, full transparency, is like, I'll need a babysitter, right? I'll need a babysitter. So you know, to date and to go out, I'm like, I gotta pay. I essentially have to pay to date. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta get dinner, and I gotta, and it's really my time too. It's tough because as a single mother, I have a lot to navigate on a day-to-day, right? So I'm talking like, obviously the same stuff, Lo, I don't know how you do it either, but it's like, you know, laundry, dishes, food, homework, you get scheduling, you know, and then you as well have to be, you know, take care of your husband and your house. Just, there's so much to navigate on a day-to-day. And so I think the hardest part is just finding time to add somebody else to that. Mm-hmm. So, but I can agree with you too. Like, you're overseas a lot of time. I'm the only adult in my house. So it's like, okay, you have to navigate. Is this something that is genuine? Is this something that I'd like to pursue because, you know, for a company, or if it's, you know what I mean? Like, what, there's a lot of different aspects to it. But I think the main challenge for me is just, number one, finding the time to date. And then number two, mm-hmm. kind of justifying for me, because I take care of everything on my own. It's like, all right, I got to justify that. Transparent, having to pay, I got to pay somebody and then come out on a date with you. And I don't know, I don't know how this is going to go. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be, you know, this is going to be worth my time.
Okay. My time and my money.
And my money. Right. It's like, so, yeah, that's just like the toughest things to navigate, I think. And then as well as meeting people, it's like, I'm not very present on social in terms of like posting myself. Because you guys know Brooke too. Brooke is one of my good friends. And so she always tells me, she's like, you need to post yourself more. You need to, you know, because I'm like, I go to the grocery store, I go to the gym, and I take care of my kids. I go to school, their school. And she's like, girl, unless you find the man of your life in the grocery store, like, you need to start doing stuff, going out.
I don't think he's going to be in the grocery store.
Hey, if he is, he can do the grocery shopping for you.
Right, right. So, again, that's another challenge too, is like meeting people. It's like, okay, you know, you got to go places, you got to go out to do that a lot of the time. So yeah, there's been some challenges with it, trying to navigate it and still trying to figure it out. But yeah, that's really just been my experience in the last couple of years, trying to navigate that.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. I think it takes being open and honest. And, you know, from my experience, like, a lot of people can't handle that. You know, when you like, look, we all have been here. I'm 32 years old now. Like, we've been overseas. We know what it is. What's up? Like, are we enjoying each other's company? Like, let's get the contract boo rules and regulations underway. Like, this is what I will accept. This is the time I have. Or, no, I really like you and I think we could be together once we're done. You know, do you like distance? Mm-hmm. Have you been in a relationship longer than 6 months? Some people get mad, but it's like, if you can't answer those questions and be truthful with yourself, then we can't do this, especially overseas, you know? So, I don't know. I think it is tough because we, for some reason, we don't like to have confrontational conversations as athletes in general.
And so the hard conversations.
Right, right. Which,
that's tough too. Like, the long distance is hard too. Like, because you're speaking more so on meeting people where you are,
right?
So, like, you know, that's tough too, because if you go back home, let's say for the summer, and you meet somebody, how do you navigate that? You're going back overseas for the whole year, you know, having to navigate long distance. And that's another thing for me, because I really, again, talking about Brooke, she always says, like, I'm super old school when it comes to like technology and stuff. I don't really like to be on my phone all day like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, again, if I met somebody back home, I really just wouldn't want to be on my phone texting or talking all day. I don't have time for that either. How am I supposed to be doing that? And then at the same time, I got to help my kids with their homework. I got to get ready for practice. I got to go to physio, you know what I mean? Like, it's
right. Yeah, you're not trying to be on FaceTime all day, falling asleep on FaceTime.
Okay. Right. Battery dying. I need my battery for my kids.
Right. But one thing's for sure though, I feel like when the situation is right, then maybe all of those things won't be a chore. Right? Like, it won't, mm-hmm. it won't be nothing to get a babysitter. It won't be nothing to be on my phone all day. So maybe once, you know, that person comes in my life, those things won't be as big of a deal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing too. I'm open to that, to say, look, right now, if that's how I'm feeling, I'm just going to go with that and take care of the things I need to take care of. And then, you know, if that situation comes about and, you know, all those doors will kind of open up and things will make more sense for me on the day to day. So, but can I ask y'all something? Like, I was just thinking about what we talked about earlier with the, just being a woman traveling with her family, hooping overseas. Like, why do you think there's such a big difference, or why is it such a big deal for a woman to say, hey, I'm available to play on your team and I'm bringing my two kids, versus a man that says, hey, I'm available to play on your team and I'm bringing my family with me as well? Like, why is it just budget? Is it just like, why is there such a, like, I think it's frowned upon. Like, I feel like it's frowned upon from some teams, like, two kids, like, no, right. You know, we don't want to hire her. Like, why is it such a big deal for women, but not so much as men? Like, even if I was traveling, if I had a husband or a partner with me, like, I feel like it would still be frowned upon. Why do you guys think that is?
I think
it's, I honestly just don't know.
Yeah, I think one, when we talk about, well, I mean, it's the same in the major leagues back in America as well, but I think definitely European, the male mentality is super dated. So that's one. And I think for the guys, they feel like they didn't physically go through have childbirth. So they feel as though the athlete is the same. And then they're coming with their wives. So they assume that, which sometimes they're not assuming, maybe they are taking care of a lot of things for them. So it's sometimes what I've heard from other agents, it's a plus to have the wives there, because most times that means they know that player will be at home. They know that player has someone else taking care of them. And then I think for women, I think it's just a matter of that. Physically, they feel as though, oh, maybe you won't be the same. And as you said, like, things are changing because more and more women are doing it. So more and more people see that, oh, okay, what we thought was wrong. Those stereotypes and misconceptions are kind of being broken. But I think also maybe some teams feel as though they will be responsible and they don't feel as though they have that extra budget to take any risk. And so that's what they might feel. And so it forces someone like yourself to completely say, I am responsible for everything. And which is kind of like, that's crazy, because you have, as a club, you should have resources and access to certain things. And it's not that much for them to do that. I don't know.
It's tough. Cause like, even in my league, I had a coach in my league tell me, I remember when you first came back, like that first year, because we were in the same league at that time too. And he said my agent called him and spoke to him, and he was like, we just can't accommodate her. And I was like, what does that mean? Because you really don't have to
do anything.
I'm not asking for you to accommodate anything. You know what I mean? And so I get the aspect of like, will the athlete come back the same? Will she? But after a couple years of consistency, it's like, that really shouldn't be an issue either. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, outside of the budgets over the years, I've really struggled with that. Like, what is the difference? Like, why is there so much resistance from these teams? Like, a lot of players, a lot of single players get 2-bedroom apartments. All right, you don't have 3-bedroom apartments, me and my kids, you know, like they have a bunk bed right now, you know? Which is funny because they actually sleep on the same bed by choice. Like, they don't want to sleep on their own. I'm like, y'all are too big for this. Like, you need to start sleeping on your own. But they're like, no, can I sleep with my brother, mom, please? Can I sleep with that? So, but yeah, it's really been like puzzling for me over the years. So I wanted to ask you guys, like, why do you think that is? But
yeah, I mean, I would imagine some players.
I've talked to some players who, like you had mentioned, Stephanie, you said about even flying their spouses over. Like, you know, I want to bring my husband with me. And it's like, what? No, no, we can't do this. Like, what? I'm going to have my own place anyway. I just, at that point, I'm just not even going to tell you.
Right.
Because what makes you think I want to be over here without my family?
Exactly.
In the first place.
Yeah, there's now, definitely.
I know moms who have left their kids in the States too because they couldn't bring their kids. I definitely cannot do that.
Yeah.
Play an entire season without seeing my sons.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I know my rookie season in Israel, two girls, because I was a rookie. So at this time, you know, I didn't know anybody was a mom. Right. So I specifically remember they were like, yo, no, her got kids at home. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
I was like, dang. And now that you say that, like, I wonder if it was the club wouldn't accommodate them if they took their kids with them, which is crazy. And I know one girl when I played in Italy, the president, she said she wanted her. It wasn't her husband, but she wanted her partner, boyfriend, whatever, to come over. He was actually going to probably be getting a job in Christmas, so he would go on to play. And they were like, no, absolutely not, which is crazy. But there's a player in Poland now. Her husband is with her, European. So I don't know. You're right. There is a disconnect there that, you know, the guys can bring who they want, fly them out, get tickets, get accommodated, or we'll figure out the school, we'll figure out everything.
Yeah, pay for the school even.
Yeah,
international. It's political.
It's a shame, really, because with a lot of other things, if not everything else, they treat it as a business, right? We were just talking about COVID. Like, look, you got one leg, you your ankle is swollen, you got COVID, you're playing. Like, for us, the most important is you play the game. So if the performance is there and if the women are performing and getting the job done, I feel like all the others should, it shouldn't really matter. Like, this is my personal, that's something I've had to say to teams too, like, business, let's talk about this. My personal, don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. That's personal. Business, we'll talk, we'll negotiate, we'll do whatever else. But like, if the job is getting done, that should be the focus. That's right. Why we're here, what we're supposed to do. So I really, it's puzzling. I don't get that at all. Right.
And so where has your support come from? Cause I'm like, man, look, it's stressful enough for me, single, solo, trying to fight to make sure, look, I want this accommodation. I want this. I want this. Like, far as a support system, like, where has that come from? Far as, like, just going through this journey, of course, trying to demand the standard you feel you need for you and your sons, but also just navigating this overseas life, because we already know the challenges that come with that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think as a whole, like, before I started back hooping after having my boys, I said, look, I'm going to decide what I want. Right? Like what I'm going to ask for from each team. Like I said, I was very specific in separating business and pleasure, business and personal. So anything to do with, you know, nanny, babysitting, whatever, I was taking care of. And then until recently, which is a huge win for me, because I'm like, I'm about to negotiate this in my contract. Enough is enough. Like, I've proven I can do this. Anyway. But so just straight off the bat, just deciding what I want and going for that, and then not settling for anything less, whether that's with salary, whether that's with living accommodation, whether that's with flights, or even just in discussing with my agent, like, this is where I want to play and this is what I want to accomplish in terms of contracts. So let's get it done. And like, not settling for anything less than that. And then in terms of support, like, we have been so incredibly blessed. Like, I think about this usually around like every holiday or every birthday, because especially with social, you can stay connected with anybody. And so just every time there's a holiday or something, we just get so much love, especially with their birthdays, like, you know, from past babysitters or past like teammates, and like everywhere we've gone, we've just had so much love. Like, that's how I met Brooke. My first year back, Brooke was on my team. Our team that year was so close. Like, we were so connected. I actually was just talking to like three other French teammates from that team. And they were like, how are the boys? Like, we'd love to see them and, you know, schedule some kind of reunion or something with everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, their babysitter from Greece just messaged us for Christmas. Like, we have just had so much love locally, like wherever we are. And so I'm so thankful to God for putting us in each situation that we've been in, you know. Mm-hmm. And then of course my family back home, like, this is just like, again, I contemplating just the journey and how it's been, you know, like New Year's Day, for example, New Year's Eve, my parents at 6 o'clock, because we're 6 hours ahead of time back home, and so 6 p.m. their time, they're calling us to make sure at midnight they get to say like Happy New Year. Right. Yeah. For their birthdays, my mom's like, all right, what time are you guys waking up? She'll stay up till 2-3 in the morning to make sure that she's, you know, calling as soon as they get up saying happy birthday. You know, my dad's on the video with my boys every day, like talking about cars and all guy stuff, like, I don't know, you know. So our support, we really just, although we are here alone, essentially, like our family, just, you know, me and my boys, we haven't really felt like that a lot of the time because we've had so much love, whether it's, again, with the video and our family calling from back home, or, you know, the people who are here loving on us too. So it's really been great in that regard, like,
so. Makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
When you just build a community and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how big of an impact your children can have on other people to make them want to stay in touch with you. You know, like you were saying, your nanny in Greece reached out to you. I got a message from the receptionist in Germany that when we played in Bonn, Jay was one. She sent me a picture of them at her desk from 4 years ago. I'm like, dang, you know, he's about to be six. And she's like, I miss you guys so much. I pray your family's doing well. You guys are beautiful. And it's just like, man, like they impacted our lives as much as we impacted theirs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
it's definitely a blessing when you can build a community with so many different people and not feel so homesick, you know?
Right,
right.
It's definitely the I've said, for me, again, no kids involved, that when you take the lens off and you stop, you know, we get in this, like, thinking about the team, complaining, doing this, but when you take that lens off and you start to look out, like, the fans don't know about the business. The fans don't know what's stuff going on. They just here to be like, you're a player in our country, we think it's cool. Some of them, of course, you got some that's not like that, but there are a lot of people involved in some of these clubs that literally are here pouring into this club because they believe in sport and everything it's about. And when you can find those people, those are the relationships you build. That's when, you know, like for me, I wrote a while back around the different families, you know, like my Italian mom in Ischia, you know, the family, the Filippi family in Bergamo, you know, they feed me just like I'm home in New Orleans. Like, I can go, I get fed, good conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you can find those types of people if you open yourself up. And that's the part where you can, that's when you get through it. Cause if not, it's kind of like, it's terrible, but.
No, yeah. It's tough. It's tough because even this year, I mean, my team is super young, okay? And so they're so young. I'm just like, yeah, I remember what I was doing 15 years ago. Like, I can't believe there's a 15-year difference. Like, so, and I felt the difference this year because, you know, they have their, you know, little, everybody on the team has their little circle of friends and stuff. And this year has been very different, like, for me personally, because I don't think there's anybody in their 30s on my team. No, there isn't. So I haven't been really, you know, in the younger circles, and I've felt the difference. You know, every other year there's been either somebody I could relate to or somebody from where I'm from, or we don't even have another foreigner on the team this year. So community, it makes such a huge difference. Like you said, whether it's like fans or just people in the city, you know, like I take my boys to a trampoline park here, and there was somebody like outside, like, oh, you play for the women's team. Oh, okay, cool. I'm going to be at the game Saturday. Like, you know, it's so cool. You got kids. And just like that love right there is just like, mm-hmm. it just makes a difference, whether it's in mm-hmm. that moment or in the everyday. Like, it's just really, it's great to be able to have that experience, like, while you're out here so far from Absolutely. Home. You know?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to switch over to the agent talk before you have to go. We know that you were working as an agent or interning, whatever it was. I don't know, but the first time
we can't call it that, Jory. I was the director of women's
basketball. You were the director of women's basketball. That's what you were. And yes. During that time, I think I heard about it because during my time of just knowing the business and being upset with it, lack of community. That's, I think I heard about you during the time I was starting to figure out the brand of WeVolve, what I wanted to do. And a few agents were like, are you trying to be an agent? Because you can't play and be an agent. There's this player. And of course you were one of the players, like, yeah, Stephanie Skirva, she's working. Da, 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 da.
Oh my goodness. They were so mad.
So Why? Mad. They were Why? Upset with you. And I was like, dang, really? Like, that's what she's doing? And again, it goes back to letting these agents plant seeds in our minds against each other. And I was like, so, you know, I was like, wait, what's she doing? She bamboozling players for agents or whatever. But
listen, it was not that. And I left you an 8-minute voice note about this, Jory, because I was so mad. I was like, I can't believe they're out here saying this. Like, I have had, I want to say four or five agents throughout my career. Okay. And I have, and not because, you know, I'm just like, oh, this person got me a better job, I'm going with them. Like, nothing like that. But where I didn't feel like I was being taken care of, where I didn't have any opportunity at all. Some agents were unresponsive. Like, I had to get surgery 10 years ago now. I got to stop saying dates. Cause it's like, but you know, right. At one point, surgery overseas, and I was trying to contact my agent and I couldn't get in contact with her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what do? I go back home? This was like my second year overseas. I'm like, should I go back home and do this? Should I, you know, what do? I need some advice. I need some guidance, some help. Right. And she did not message me back. And it wasn't until a month later, I already made my decision. I had my surgery and it was meniscus, really small, but at the time felt major. And a month later, she messaged me like, so I heard you had to get surgery. Like, how are you? Like, how's everything? I'm like, girl, what? I was so upset. But there was a series of things like that. And so for that reason, I had to change a lot of times. So I know what it's like to be overseas and have to communicate to somebody like, listen, this is my life. Like, I feel like you're not taking my life, my career seriously. And so, you know, and to that too, I've had a lot of women, whether it's back home or even overseas, ask me for advice. Do I have any information about certain teams? Maybe some recommendations about what they should negotiate in contracts, like all these different things. So naturally, I'm in the later part of my career. I have to start thinking about what I'm going to do next post basketball. And this was something that kind of fell in my lap. I had somebody, my boss at the time, call me and say, hey, would you be interested in joining on to be sort of a mentor for the players that we have? And, you know, there were other responsibilities as well. But I said, you know what, this is a great chance for me to still be playing, but then, you know, learn more about that side of the business, see if I enjoy it, gain some experience and knowledge from him as well, and to see how the company is run. And so that was really why I got started. I know what it's like to be over here and have somebody, your agent, not really care about you and your career. And so I have a chance now to make that difference and to actually care about how the players are feeling or what they're going through. So that's why I started. So when you told me like, oh, the other agents are like saying I'm trying to bamboozle people, I didn't ever try to steal any players from anybody. I didn't ever try to like like nothing like that at all.
Trust me, I found out the truth because I ain't gonna, you know, I found out. I know you didn't do nothing crazy. I realized again, truth is not really out there in this business, but you know, again, agents are still in players all the time. And at the end of the day, they were upset. They're upset when people like myself or like you insert ourselves and start to pay attention because they know players are going to gravitate to us. And so then whoever we are allies with, unless we become agents ourselves, will naturally gain that as a reward. Because if I'm an ally with this agent, most likely, who am I going to recommend that agent?
Right.
And that's a natural networking effect. It's not something that's wrong. They just say it's wrong because all of them are hungry and want who they want. I was like, well, I want to talk to her because, hey,
listen,
what happened?
I knew some feathers were going to get ruffled because I started getting, like, I took it seriously. Like, whatever I do, I put 1,000 into it. And so, like, after about a year or so, I started getting CC'd on certain, like, recruiting emails or, like, teams looking for players and stuff. And I'm like looking at the list of emails and I see like 2 or 3 agents that I used to work with or that try to recruit me. I'm like, oh, they're about to see my name. They're about to see my name and say something.
Right.
Something. But you know what? Like I've had a few contact me directly, threaten me and do all this stuff. I'm like, look, I'm trying to provide for my children. I'm trying to make a difference in this industry. I'm trying to provide support. And a lot of women come over here, have negative experiences. Sometimes it's because of their agent. I'm trying to change the narrative. Being able to play out in Europe, like you can have such a beautiful experience. It doesn't have to be negative. You don't have to be dealing with nonsense. Like you should be able to have trust in your agent. You should be able to have a great experience wherever you're playing. You should be able to feel secure in whatever you negotiated, like it doesn't have to be a negative experience. Come over here. It's a great life. Enjoy it. I'm just trying to help put women in those positions. So I'm like, man,
you would be one of the only women, if you choose to keep doing it, one of the very few women in the space. But my question was, why do you think so many athletes go to, you know, consulting, like Lowe's doing her consulting thing, or mostly it's the consulting, like Carlin Brown, a few others, Vanessa Gidden, it's always consulting. And it's like, why do we stay in that space? Like what's stopping us? Because in a sense, agents love that because they can get with the most valuable thing. The people, your image, your likeness attracts the players, and then if you send them to them, they gain most of the wealth and money from that interaction, whereas the consultant is probably getting a minimum fee. So my thing, I've always wondered why do we have so many athletes that retire and leave the game and they stay in that space? And what I've learned, because I looked at a lot of different people, that it usually doesn't sustain once you go back stateside, because now that disconnect of that network is off, or your leverage between your teams you play for, things shift. And I feel that's what we hope, of course, what we've always to keep that connection, because when you keep that, now it opens up a door for maybe a new way that the industry goes. But what is it? Cause I don't get it. You know, why won't we just start a full blown agency? It's this is ultimately the same thing.
Listen, I see so much power in that. There is so much power in that. And why not start an agency? Do you know how many agents? I'm so big on this. Like so many agents.
Hey, Chris.
Mommy.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can play a 2-player one.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot what I was saying. Hold on. I'm so big on this. Like a lot of agents, especially having worked in that field for 2 years, it just further confirmed. A lot of agents do not care. They don't care. Everybody is a number. How much can I make off this player? She has an issue. Oh, well, my job is done. I signed her. Like they don't care. So to have a like a community like that, why not? Why not? Mm-hmm. Where we all care about each other, we all push each other forward, we all like, whether there's something that doesn't sound right, doesn't look right, we let each other know, look, no, you're getting, you know, so you're selling yourself short with that situation, or you need to ask for this as well, or don't go play over there because they don't give their, you know, you're gonna be waiting 3 months for your check, or, you know, a lot of times agents don't, they don't tell us that stuff, you know, right. because they mm-hmm. have a special relationship with the coach or with the GM or the president, or, you know, like, listen, it's so important for us to take care of each other. And so it's way more. That's why, like, when you told me, you know, going back to what we were saying before about, you know, they're like, oh, she's trying to steal players, or she's trying to, no, I'm trying to advance us. I'm trying mm-hmm. to help us, push us right. forward. Because if we don't do it for each other, who will?
Right.
Facts.
Right. From the experience of working, though, in the space, what were some of the things that you learned that wasn't so clear just from being on the player side? Like, what were some of the things you definitely learned and opened your eyes to?
Gosh, I mean, I always knew that it was about numbers, but I didn't know how heartless it was. You know, teams could be looking at a player, the player could be super invested into going, and it don't work out. They're just like, all right, next, who do you got? Mm-hmm. Like, who do you, sometimes they don't, you know, you're not even addressed by your name. It's like, look, this is the salary bracket we have. Who fits that? You know? So it is a business. Numbers are important, all that good stuff. But I just didn't know how heartless it was. I really didn't right. know. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, and just how very little support there is, just in terms of like just empathy and for yeah. like just caring about the player and what they have to go through. And you know, I was having hour-long conversations sometimes with players, and they're like, this is the first time, like, or even just meeting some players, they're like, I've never met anybody I've worked with. I'm like, right. really? You know, yeah, like terrible. nobody has ever even tried to meet up with them, and, you know, or ask them like, hey, what are you doing during the summer? Do you need any resources for workouts? Or, you know, when COVID hit, making sure, like, that was a huge thing for us. Like, at the time, it was just like a lot of players didn't have support and resources for working out. They didn't know where to go mm-hmm. to, or, you know, just providing that support just, you know, is not very common on that side of things. So yeah, I think those are things that come to mind right now.
What were your thoughts, or I don't know, continued thoughts on how you feel you would have made a difference? Just, is it more the empathy and time? Was there something on how you would actually interact with your clients and the teams that you would change?
You know what? For me, I think, sorry, my son's just starting to get real loud. For me, it was, let me think. Like, the business angle will always be there, right? Like, connecting right. players to teams. But I think in terms of making sure that it's a right fit, mm-hmm. I think that's something that I became good at. I'm trying to think. I think, yeah. So number one, okay, with empathy, with actually talking to the player, asking them what their goals are, asking them what they're trying to achieve, and then just placing them in a situation that aligns with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that's oftentimes overlooked. So I was just really diligent with that, and I feel like that made a difference. But yeah, that's a really good question. I gotta think about that some more.
I mean, that's the big thing that's missing, is the plan. The plan, the holistic approach around the player. And sometimes the agent doesn't fully know the player, nor do they fully know the situation that they're placing the player in. So they're just, they're not really making sure that's a good fit. And that's where it causes problems, because now that player might not stay the whole time. Maybe that coach might not be happy because you sold them something and they didn't know the whole story. Right. And it goes both ways. We don't know the whole story sometimes about teams. Sometimes teams don't know the whole story about a player. because some of these rookies I've heard crazy stories. So it's definitely definitely needed.
It's just about having conversations. You know what I mean? Like just taking the time to just have that conversation. Look, what are you trying to accomplish? You trying to, like, how many agents have you had? How many agents have you had in your career, Jordy?
I've had five different agents.
And okay, what was the main reason why you
first one, Steph? I left her because it was just, she was coming with just some unprofessional talk. And at the time there was things that with other players I wasn't about. I really wanted to prolong my career, but so I left her. The next agent I had, I really went quick with one agent, but found out that he was working with three other partners and I was like, what? So then quickly went to another agent, which was more so like a one contract deal, low key, just to get me back overseas. Cause after Israel, I didn't have a job because I fired Steph, which was my fault at the wrong time. Again, no mentorship, not knowing how I should have went about it. And then I ended up with LBM with Eric. Yeah. And I led Switzerland 2 years in scoring back to back. And he was trying to make me go back a third year because he said there was no job. So then that's when I knew Lorenzo from the beginning of Lorenzo from the Israel, but I didn't go with him.
Yeah.
And then he told me if I got on the train and went to Italy and tried out, they might sign me. And it was my birthday. And I signed on my birthday. I tried out, signed in Italy. And then because Stefano and Eric, the bullshit contract, I couldn't leave them that year. So I stayed, played, and then I left. And then I've been with Lorenzo since then.
And have you had those discussions with your agents, like with Eric? I'm sure with Lorenzo, because I've heard Lorenzo's very personable, but just in terms of like what your goals were, what you were trying to accomplish, have you ever been told like, don't, you know, we don't want to put you here because, you know, that team is...
Only with Lorenzo, but I think also it was a mix of me learning already that I was like, why would I be going here? Tell me this. And also at that time, because of Romania and because of certain situations, I was like, look, I know I'm a guard in this market. Let me, you know, if I get, you know, high amenities, but 10K less, I'm going high amenities lifestyle and 10K less. And so that's what, you know, that's what we talked about with Lorenzo. But also again, he loves food, lifestyle. I love food, lifestyle. Yeah. So again, as humans and the openness of the things we like, we were able to be a good match as a player and this business together. And that's when I learned, like, look, people come all the time, try to take me from Lorenzo and say, I could get you this more money. And he's, you know, not as strong in the market. He's softer, nice guy. And I was like, that's cool. I will take that L because I know what I want. So I think with him was when I finally started to really like strategically say, all right, let's do this. Or like Olympiacos, it was like, it's COVID year. If COVID happened again, Jory, I was like, let's go. Cause I had the option where my contract would be paid with both teams and I knew I'd be by the beach. And it worked like we planned. We was locked down for a month. I was by the beach and but also I made the connection with Olympiacos. If COVID didn't happen, I was supposed to be working with the soccer Olympiacos team too. So, you know, with him, we've talked about that. I don't know if he does that with every client. I know the ones I do know, the older ones, he does take his time, but that's the difference between a boutique agency and those bigger agencies, you know? Mm-hmm. So, for me, that was the first time I actually did it. Everyone else, it was just like, go here, it's the only option we have.
So, and that, you see, look how much of a difference it made in your life, in your career. You know what I mean? Like that stuff matters. So that's something that I would want to contribute to as well if I ever did get back into the space. It's like, that, it just makes a difference. Just knowing that you're taken care of. As a player, I know what that's like. Just knowing I'm taken care of, knowing being able to talk to somebody who said, look, what do you, you know, go to this store in this country because, you know, you can get some whatever it is, some great snacks, or, you know, if you're looking for a certain kind of clothes, or, you know, just somebody who's been there, done that, can just give you advice on and off the court and support you as well. Because like you said, a lot of times we're so far away from home. It's like you want to feel taken care of while you're out here as well. And so that changes everything.
No, well, we at the 4-minute mark now. So, I definitely appreciate the time. It was a good talk. We could obviously talk about a whole bunch of topics, but definitely good talking to you. We're going to have you all on social now. So people are going to be like, oh, where's she coming from? You're never on social media. So, you know, Brooke gonna repost, you're gonna be everywhere.
I know. Brooke gonna be like, no, you talking to my homegirl.
For sure.
I know. No, thank you for having me. I'm glad we were able to have this talk and to explore all these different topics.
Yes.
Definitely. Is there anything you want to leave the new generation or the old generation with? Because, you know, it's a mix of people that tune in or watch the reels. From your experience, are there any like a few key things that you always kind of drop some gems on people about this business or the lifestyle?
Number one is, this is a big for me too, a big one. Not everybody's gonna understand your journey, but that's okay because they don't have to. It's yours to live it fully, live it wholly. And that's something, because a lot of people obviously are like, what, two kids going overseas? What are you doing? Go back home. You know, when are you gonna retire? Listen, this is my journey. We're enjoying every single day. We're taking full advantage of every country we're in. We've traveled to 16 countries together. We're doing our thing and we're enjoying every moment. So not everybody's gonna understand your journey. That's all right. Do your thing anyway. I mean, as cliche as it is, overseas life does get tough. It does get mundane at times. But you have to try to find the little joys every single day. You have to get out, explore, learn something new about the culture, make friends locally. I'm all for, you know, watching the TV and movies and all that stuff, but sometimes turn it off, go out for a walk, go down to the center, try a new food, learn a couple words in the language, whatever it is, just take full advantage, because one day you're going to look back and, you know, my dad said this to me the other day. He's like, have you explored like the different places to see around your city? You know, like, have you taken advantage? Like, when are you going to look back and you'll be like, man, I didn't even know that historical site was near where I was living. I didn't know that. Like, take full advantage. Go on Google what to do in whatever city you're in, you know? But really just enjoy every moment, because now being at this part of my career, I can say like, man, it's almost over.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to look back and you're going to just, some people are going to wish they took more advantage and they enjoyed more of the moments. And, you know, so I would just say, take advantage of every moment, every day, and enjoy the journey.
Awesome. Well, I'm a fan of what you've accomplished. All y'all mothers. I think I have the connects to all the mothers. Low, Damiana about to have her third one.
Know what she's having.
So definitely shout out to all the mothers doing it and living this lifestyle. So I appreciate you again. I'll text you. We'll need some pictures and stuff for when we launch. That's all. Tell your boys thank you for being quiet, both of y'all.
I know they're in their plane. Yeah, all right. Thank you.
All right, peace.
All right, bye.
Bye.